From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Welcome in. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin. We're with you every single Sunday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. If you missed anything from the show, want to check it out, we are wherever you get your podcast. That includes the great ESPN Chicago app. You can find us under the CDGA Golf Show tab there, or search CDGA Golf Show wherever you get your podcast. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. We will talk with Nick Hardy coming up at 8:15. Nick is out at the Travelers Championship right now. We had a chance to catch up with him earlier in the week after he finished tied for 14th at the U.S. Open, one of his best performances of his young and budding career. So we're looking forward to that conversation coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Barry, you and I have talked a lot on this show about LIV Golf, but more importantly, what is the PGA Tour going to do to counter what's happening with LIV Golf? And as the threat has gotten more and more serious and more golfers are leaving, including this week the news that Brooks Koepka as well as Abraham Ancer are jumping over to the LIV Golf Tour as well. Those are, especially in the context of Brooks, it's a big name jumping ship. And you and I have gone back and forth about how we thought Brooks was probably going to be one of those names. His brother's on the LIV Golf Tour, and he probably saw some of the checks his brother was getting just for showing up. And Brooks, I'm sure, is going to be in that club of golfers making north of $100 million now.
Well, right. Exactly. And Brooks, though, interestingly enough, not that long ago said that he was not going to go to the LIV Golf Tour. And Rory McIlroy came out this week and called Brooks duplicitous. So there's a little bad blood brewing there. And of course, Brooks doesn't care because he's Brooks, you know, and you're not. And that's kind of his. That's how he rolls. So, Brooks has had some injuries. He seems to be bored with the PGA Tour. He likes the majors okay. Didn't play that great at the U.S. Open. He just seems to be, I don't know if he's not competitive anymore. It's hard to say. I mean, he's not that old of a guy.
No.
But you wonder if his body's breaking down or what. He has a knee injury. So he's gone. And Abraham Ancer, good young player, 31 years old now. He's made a lot of money on the tour, but they took him. There's one agency that represents players that seems to be funneling some of their players to the LIV Tour. And of course, you know, the agency, if they're funneling their players, guess what? It's not only the players getting money; they're getting a commission,
yeah,
on delivering players to the to the tour. So,
and that's the thing too. I haven't even thought about this, but from an agent standpoint here, that is guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Whereas with when you're representing golfers who are playing on the PGA Tour, there's no guarantees those guys make any money.
Well, right, but agents don't make money on the week to week performance of the players. They make money on if they can get players an endorsement contract, mm-hmm, with whoever, Callaway,
right,
Titleist,
okay,
whatever,
mm-hmm,
so they get a percentage of that, and they get a percentage of if they can get, say, a corporate day where a player might get paid X. Let's say a guy, and this is probably low, but $30,000-$40,000 to go and do a go up to whoever, AT&T or Motorola or John Deere, whatever. That John Deere doesn't do it, but. But there are companies that do, and they pay a guy $40,000 to do a day, a corporate day, entertain clients, mm-hmm, et cetera, and the agent will get a percentage of that. So
yeah,
that's how they're making money. So, yeah.
Yeah, the other news, too, in terms of LIV Golf is Oklahoma State's Eugenio Chikara is also going to be joining the LIV Golf Tour. You probably don't know that name, but he's the number 2 ranked amateur right now. And that stuff matters because if you start to look at these young up-and-coming stars and they're picking LIV Golf over going to the Korn Ferry Tour and then ultimately getting to the PGA Tour because there's that guaranteed money there. And not just that, but it's a large check you'll be cashing as well. Sure. That's important because that's how this LIV Golf Tour not only gets its legs but sustains this if they are taking the young stars like that.
Right, but the nature of the LIV Tour, as Claire Peterson just mentioned, it is a 54-hole exhibition, okay? I looked it up. Since 1873, real golf tournaments have been 72 holes, four rounds, okay? That's what a real golf tournament is. And there's a cut. And in professional golf, if you miss the cut, you don't get paid. That's part of what creates the competitive nature of the game. I mean, I think they'll probably have to, the tour is going to have to do something about helping players who qualify at least pay their travel expenses. I mean, that's going to be, hey, when you get on the PGA Tour, making it onto the PGA Tour, you're going to be able to get X amount of money. And the Korn Ferry Tour is a very hard place to be, too. So they're going to have to do something at those at that level. And even the Latino America and the Canadian Tour, the Form Tour, they call it now, they may have to go down and help those guys with some money because it's hard to play those tours. And you know, they have competition, so they're going to have to respond. Anyway, yeah.
So Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA, came out earlier this week, big press conference, announcing a lot of changes that are going to be happening on the PGA Tour. But most importantly, he talked about the imminent threat of the LIV Golf Series.
Let me be clear. I am not naive. If this is an arms race, and if the only weapons here are dollar bills, the PGA Tour can't compete. The PGA Tour, an American institution, can't compete with a foreign monarchy that is spending billions of dollars in an attempt to buy the game of golf. We welcome good, healthy competition. The LIV Saudi Golf League is not that. It's an irrational threat, one not concerned with the return on investment or true growth of the game. Now, I know legacy and purpose sound like talking points that don't mean much. But when I talk of those concepts, it isn't about some sort of intangible moral high ground. It is our track record as an organization and as a sport.
So strong stuff there from Jay Monahan. And he knows this is a real threat now, and it's only going to continue to be a bigger and bigger threat as we move down and as we see more golfers start to jump over.
Right. And, you know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But like you mentioned, the young player who's going to go over now and from Oklahoma State, you have a young player who played in the LIV Tour, and his name is James Pyatt from Michigan State, reigning U.S. amateur champion. So he's going to go on the LIV Tour, and he's not going to get any world ranking points, as of now, at least. He reportedly got $6 million. Certainly you don't blame him for taking it, because had he just gone on the PGA Tour, he would have had to go get in onto the Korn Ferry Tour, and he would have had to play. He would have had to perform and have a real golf game. A real golf game. Mm-hmm. There are guys who go on that Korn Ferry Tour who you think, Curtis Luck, for example, great young Australian player, U.S. Open, U.S. amateur winner. This is years ago. You know, 2015, 2014, he won the U.S. amateur. He's still on the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, he was a guy that you thought, wow. And there are a lot of players like that. So James Pyatt says, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm going on the LIV Tour, and I'm going to take my chances. And that's what this guy's doing, too. But he's gotten a lot of money to do it. So they're basically kind of giving up their their golf careers in a way. I mean, to go out and play a 54-hole exhibition with against Phil Mickelson or whatever, who's over 50 years old and hasn't been playing great, as we saw at the U.S. Open, you know, it's not really, you can't really become great. Because as I've been saying,
if you're going up against, if we start to continue to see more and more people jump over, and that is the cream of the talent is is on the LIV Golf Series, then what does it matter if it's three or four rounds? I mean,
Well, it does matter. In the history of the game, it matters, and it'll matter to the world ranking guys.
I just don't know if you're jumping ship to this LIV Golf Series, and this maybe one day becomes the standard of what golf is. I don't think they're going to be wrapped up with what the history, what the legacy is. This is a new, game.
Well, they aren't wrapped up with it. I mean, they clearly are not.
Right.
Greg Norman clearly doesn't care about it.
So it doesn't matter then.
Well, it doesn't matter to them.
Right.
So it doesn't matter to them. Now, because what they're doing is they're playing the Champions Tour. The Champions Tour is 54 holes, no cut. And you tell me you watch a Champions Tour event, even the U.S. Senior Open, which is a pretty good tournament. I watched a little bit of it this weekend. It's certainly not the quality of the PGA Tour. And as I've been saying, if somebody, Dustin Johnson, he were going to give you $125 million just to come on over, what's the incentive to practice?
Right.
You know, I mean, he's got the money already.
Mm-hmm.
James Piatt, he's got $6 million. Now, he's a young guy. I mean, that's, you know, he probably try to win more on the tour. But in terms of legacy, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. You can't say that it's the same as winning on the PGA. Let's say you win 81 times on the LIV Tour. Is that the same as Sam Snead winning 81 times or Tiger Woods winning 81 times on the PGA Tour?
It's a lot more money.
Well, it's a lot more money, but I mean, you don't measure, you know, in life, you're not going to measure yourself by money. You got to measure yourself by, I mean, it's not like the guys on the PGA Tour. It's not, Dustin Johnson made almost $75 million on course alone. So, you know, he takes another 125. I mean, how much do you need? We call that generational wealth, and it's always a question to me when, you know, you watch baseball players, particularly basketball players. Okay, they all get generational wealth. How many generations do you need for your wealth? How many generations does it have to last? I think McIlroy has been great on that. Which is, hey, you know, I got a lot of money, and I still live. I got this big house, and we still live basically in the same three rooms. So I don't know. It's nuts.
Now, one of the big changes that is coming to the PGA Tour is there is going to be larger purses for a number of tournaments now, including the Players' Championship. That's going to increase up to $25 million. And there's going to be a new six-tournament series that's also going to be taking place with the PGA Tour. They're sort of taking some of what LIV Golf is doing and implementing it into their own schedule. This is all going to take plays starting in 2023, so they see the threat, and this is part of the reason why the LIV Golf Series also exists in the first place. It's because Greg Norman thinks there's money that's being hidden from by the PGA Tour, and now we're starting to see some of those dollars leak out a little bit.
Right. Well, yeah, and players have said that over the years, and listen, if they had paid out all this money that they've had stashed up for years, they wouldn't be able to compete with the LIV Tour. They would have the money now to compete with them. So I was looking at the other day. I think they got a $1 billion rights fee from CBS, but it was like for 12 years.
Right.
The LIV Tour is going to spend $1 billion.
On golfers.
Just getting players. And they don't have a network yet. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get a network. But you're right. They're going to have the PGA Tour is going to mirror, do certain things that LIV Golf is doing in order to reduce the incentive for their own players to leave for the LIV Tour. And what Monahan said is true. They can have several events that are similar to the LIV Tour, no cut events, lots of money, etc. But I think that the tour has to hang its hat on. Hey, look, we've got a lot of money. We're going to have these events for the top 70 players, and we're going to spread a lot of money around among the top players, which is important for them to do. But they still are going to have the Players' Championship, the majors, the Memorial, a lot of really great tournaments that guys, I think guys, when they're younger, they want to play in those events.
Yeah, I think the one thing is you will never see. I think the one thing that's holding the PGA Tour back here is the guaranteed money. Until you guarantee money to these guys, you're not going to see them stop jumping ship.
Well, that may be true. I don't think they've only got so much money. I mean, they can't guarantee somebody, they can't guarantee, okay, well, we're going to have a bidding war to keep Dustin Johnson on the tour. They can't do that. I don't think they can afford to do that. I think they can afford to have these big purses and have some of these no-cut events at the end of the season, but they have to have a legitimate season where they have 156 guys competing, and then at the end you have the top 70 guys have the playoffs, which now go from, you know, which now go 70 guys, and then 50 guys, and then 30 guys at the end, you know. And then they do these live style events, no cut events during the fall, and then there's a different level of play that goes on among the players who are not in the top 70 that are going to compete to get in the top 125 for the following season.
Yeah.
So, as in all this golf stuff, it's a little bit complicated, but in terms of the way it's organized, but. They are trying to answer the LIV Tour, but as he said, there's only so much they can do. So if the players want to give it up and go work, basically you're becoming an employee of the Saudi government. That's what you're doing. Mohammed bin Salman kind of owns you.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we will talk with Nick Hardy. We had a chance to catch up with him earlier in the week, talk about his trip out to the country club at Brookline, where he finished tied for 14th in the U.S. Open. We will talk with Nick when we return. The segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome in. It's the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin. We're with you every single Sunday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000, talking all things the world of golf. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline, where we find, tied for 14th atop the U.S. Open leaderboard, it's Nick Hardy, Northbrook's very own. He joins us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Nick, welcome on in, and thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations on finishing in a tie for 14th at the U.S. Open.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being with us, Nick, and I know you're... You're at the Travelers, so we appreciate you joining us this week. Nick, you played tremendous golf, and you really, I think, kind of announced your arrival on the big stage at the U.S. Open and you had a month off. Tell us what happened during that month off with your wrist injury and what you did during that time to come back so strong.
Yeah, you know, when the injury happened, I was obviously very disappointed. But I also kept high hopes and positive mindset, because I knew during Louisiana I felt like my game was taking a turn, and so after that injury I was like, all right, just gonna freshen up, and it's unfortunate the timing of things and how I got off to not a great start on the PGA Tour this year, and then getting injured, it was just a lot. But that break really helped me just kind of change my perspective, slow down my thoughts, and I came back really ready to play.
Nick, you've played in the U.S. Open before a number of times. What did you learn from those prior experiences that allowed you to have so much success this time around?
Yeah, you know, a lot. I learned how to play them and kind of how to course manage a lot and just the patience level you need. And you got to play very conservatively and just sometimes even just accept that you're going to make bogeys out there. And, you know, it's definitely a kind of a style of play that I think is really conducive to my game and just kind of my mindset and my attitude. I think a lot of what the U.S. Open brings out of the players is really the kind of attributes that I have. So I think those three U.S. Opens that I played really helped prepare me for sure.
In looking at your statistics for the week, Nick, I was a little bit surprised that you were 58th in driving distance, 293 yards. But maybe that was because you were laying up off tees or whatever. But your strengths were tremendous. You know, putting tied for 22nd, greens in regulation tied for 11th, sand saves tied for 13th. I mean, those are – and, you know, fairways hit 51%, but, you know, you could be – I don't know. You know, they don't count if you go in the rough a little bit. You know, they don't give you a fairway hit, but it doesn't mean anything for you, really. So how happy were you with your statistics?
Yeah, you know, some of those stats I think you mentioned are a little generic. The more high-in-depth stats had me as, like, a second in putting for the week. I was second in strokes gained putting, which was great to see. My putting has been really good since I came back from the break. And then my ball striking definitely wasn't as good as I'd wished. And that showed me a lot, actually. Like, normally that's a very good strength of mine is my ball striking. And for me not to have an excelling week in my ball striking, Silva result like that shows me that, you know, I'm ready to win on this stage. So, you could take a lot away from the stats for me for that week. And there's a lot to be proud of, and there's a lot to be desired in the future, for sure.
Nick Hardy is our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show on the Jersey Mike's Hotline, fresh off of a tied for 14th at the U.S. Open out at the Country Club in Brookline. So, Nick, when you look at the leaderboard and the names that you're a part of here in that tied for 14th, you see guys like a Xander Schauffele and a Patrick Cantlay, Adam Scott. You're ahead of guys like Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. Like, what is high school Nick Hardy? Like, how giddy is that guy right now seeing his name among those elites right there?
You know, very. I mean, I know it's what I'm capable of, and, you know, that's kind of why I think the result happened is really just a matter of belief and manifestation that I always knew that I was ready to compete on that stage and do that. So I think the high school Nick would be very excited and giddy for sure. But a lot of those guys that are around my age are the same guys I was competing against in high school and college too. So it's more so that, you know, I expect myself to be competing against those guys and the best players.
Coach Small, Mike Small from the Illinois Golf Coach, your coach for 4 years, came out to Boston and helped you and Adrian and Thomas Peters, all three of his stars over the years. How great was it to have Mike out there helping you, and what did he contribute to this effort?
Oh, it was great. It was amazing having a coach out there. I think he's the best college golf coach in the country, no doubt about it. And especially having him there to prepare for a type of golf course like a U.S. Open test at the Country Club was, you know, especially special, just because at that type of course, there's a lot of different options off tees and how you can play the course and how to attack it. And it's very important to have a strategic game plan and, you know, to have Coach Small help make a game plan for us like that is very, very beneficial. And I really enjoyed having him out there with us.
Nick, what is something that the Country Club, it doesn't do justice seeing it on TV. Like, what is the biggest surprise that you found playing that course?
Yeah, the greens are very small and they're very undulating. I think it may have shown that on TV a little bit, but just hole after hole, the greens are only about 25 yards long and not very wide. So on top of it being a long golf course and hard to hit fairways, it makes it especially tough to hit greens and try to find a rhythm in the stringing holes along that are easy pars is not easy.
Nick, as you look forward now to the rest of the year, what kind of do you have your schedule, at least in the media future, set? And what are your goals for the rest of this year?
Yeah, I could be playing, you know, 7 weeks in a row here. I'll be playing Travelers, John Deere, and then after that I could play in Barbasol, Barracuda, 3M, and then Detroit and Greensboro to finish. So it could be a busy summer, but I'm hoping to play very well so I could take a couple weeks off here or there.
Nick Hardy is our guest here on the Jersey Mike's Hotline on the CDGA Golf Show. So sometimes you see golfers, they have all this success in one event, and then especially at the majors, and then the next week, sometimes they come out a little bit flat. What for you is the biggest thing for you to parlay success and keep this ball rolling moving forward?
Yeah, I think the important thing for me the last few days is just begin the rest. It's definitely a very taxing week, the U.S. Open, and on top of playing four rounds the week before in Canada and the U.S. Open qualifier on top of that, it's been a lot of golf. So I know how to kind of manage my rest at this point. I've done it before, so I've been able to do a good job of that these few days. And I think coming out tomorrow afternoon, I'll be ready to go.
Nick, I know you're not exempt for the British Open, and yet I know John Deere has three potential spots for the British Open, and I believe Travelers probably has them too. If you get into the British Open, would you go over to St. Andrews and play in the 150th edition of the oldest championship in the world?
Yes, I absolutely would. That is definitely a goal of mine the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic. Well, good. Yeah, and the great thing is if you get in there, you'll be able to take the week off between John Deere and the British Open.
Yes.
So, Nick, one of the other things that I'm always curious too, with especially after these really strong performances, especially for young guys who are sort of making their way onto the scene, is just the support that you got from this entire week. Was there someone in particular who gave you some really good advice, or someone really cool that reached out to you after you finished tied for 14th?
You know, I have a really good supporting cast of friends and family. Nothing in particular sticks out to me, I'd say, but I had a lot of people show up on the weekend and some really good friends and family come out and support me. And that was really special for me. And my whole family was out there. My three sisters and my mom and dad were all out there. So it was just really special having all of them and their support, throughout the week, and getting the whole Hardy family together, it's just so special.
Nick, one more question for you here. I know this is a big topic now in the world of golf, but has the LIV Tour reached out to you at all about potentially joining? And if so, why have you decided to stick with the PGA Tour?
No, they have not. But yeah, no, I am allegiance with the PGA Tour. The game of golf is more than the game of golf to me, and I feel like the PGA Tour has always been the spot where I want to play, and I've dreamed of winning PGA Tour events and many majors, and I've climbed that ladder over the last four years since I turned pro, so this is definitely where my work lies and where my body of work lies, so this is where I expect to play.
All right, Nick, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck moving forward, and we'll be watching.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, that's Nick Hardy, Northbrook's very own and a former Illini star as well, tied for 14th at the U.S. Open out at the Country Club in Brookline. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Good stuff with Nick Hardy. If you missed any of our interview with Nick, check it out on the CDGA Golf Show podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. That includes the ESPN Chicago app. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin with you on this Sunday morning. We're with you every Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Let's take a dip into the Travelers right now, Barry, where Xander Schauffele is your leader through three rounds. He is at 17 under. How about this? Back-to-back rounds to open this thing up at 63-63. Really looked like he was going to run away with this in convincing fashion, but guess what? Here comes Patrick Cantlay with a 63 of his own on Saturday, yesterday, and he right now is right on Schauffele's tail, one stroke back of the lead. There's a couple other notables on this leaderboard. Kevin Kisner currently sitting fourth right now. We've got a tie for seventh with Webb Simpson and JT Poston, as well as Nick Hardy, who we just spoke with not too long ago, and Scottie Scheffler currently sitting tied for 11th right now, and Tony Finau sitting tied for 15th. But some good golf being played out of the Travelers this week.
Right. Nick is at 11 under, and he's six shots back of Schauffele. It's interesting. Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay are good buddies. They were great Ryder Cup partners in 2021 up at Whistling Straits, and they're going to be in the final pairing today, so that'll be comfortable for them. It'll be interesting to see them go at it. Sahith Theegala, he's remember him earlier in the year. He was I can't remember what tournament it was, but he was he made a splash. He'll be at John Deere next week, and Webb Simpson will be there too. He's T7 along with Nick Hardy, as you mentioned. So yeah, it's a good group, good tournament, and that's another. The Travelers is another smaller town event, much like John Deere. It's located obviously out at the east on the East Coast, and another good tournament.
Yeah, I'm looking through and Xander Schauffele, the way that he has sort of dominated so far through these first couple of rounds here, it'd be good for him. Get a little bit of momentum going here through the end of this tournament, and him and Cantlay, like, that's a great final pairing.
It's terrific
for an event right after a major.
Right, exactly, and they both played last week, and it's good, and of course Cantley's got an unbelievable record. I mean, he went out there and shot 60 a few years ago when he was a rookie. He and Schauffele would be a great viewing, and Kisner and Theegala not far behind, and neither is Martin Laird. So yeah, it should be a good final round and good fun. And Xander needs to start winning more. I mean, he's such a quality player, but he really needs to win more. It puts himself in position in some of these major championships, but you got to start winning on the PGA Tour to get ready for the majors.
Right. So, looking at some of the odds right now, heading into this final round here, Xander Schauffele currently the favorite. He's at +105. Patrick Cantlay +140. Then things lengthen out a little bit here. Sahith Theegala at 11-1. Kevin Kisner 22-1. K.H. Lee at 40-1, and Scottie Scheffler at 55-1. So if you think there's a dark horse that can make its way out from 3, 4, or even 5 strokes back, there's some value there. But if you think this is a two-headed race down the stretch between Cantlay and Schauffele, your odds are going to narrow pretty significantly there with Schauffele just a little over even, and then Patrick Cantlay at +140. You think, is there any value in your eyes in some of those guys who are 3, 4, 5 shots back? Because as we've seen so far in this tournament, this is a course that you can go low on.
Right, and definitely I think there's value. The difficulty will be is not only do you have to catch Schauffele, you have to get past Cantlay.
Right.
So you got the two of them there. You really, it's sort of like 1 and 1A.
Yeah.
You're betting against horse 1 and horse 1A. Anything could happen, but I do think Cantlay's got the track record to go low, and I think it's a two horse race. I'll be proven wrong next week. Although I have to say I did get Matthew Fitzpatrick right last week.
You did.
So that was, I have to, give myself some props.
So you're heading out to the John Deere literally after we are off the air here.
Right.
Because you are going out and helping out at the John Deere Classic. What are you looking for forward to most for the John Deere next week?
Well, I think we're going to have some, we'll have some quality play. There were quite a few players that are in the John Deere this week that played in the U.S. Open and played well. As you said, my guy Denny McCarthy, who's I guess now my guy.
I think you've hitched your wagon there. I've never met the guy.
We gotta get together. we get a lot of guys that are a little bit under the radar out at the John Deere. Sometimes Hadwin, Hayden Buckley, and of course Nick Hardy. You know, Nick could win next week. You know, he could win the John Deere, which would be really cool. He's gotten a couple sponsors exemptions from Claire. Davis Riley, here's another guy who's waiting to break out and win on the PGA Tour. So we'll have those guys. And then I think if you're watching the tournament next week, this young man named Chris Goderup, who out of Oklahoma, just won the Haskins Award, made the cut at the U.S. Open, and so he'll be a good guy. And then Jason Day will be there, Webb Simpson, Daniel Berger, some of the guys that are a little bit better known. So I'm looking forward to it. It's always a great week at John Deere. People who have children and want to come out and come to a reasonably sane golf tournament, you go to the BMW Championship here, and I've worked for those guys and worked at the Westerns over the year. It's crowded. It's Chicago. It's big. It's hard to get an autograph. You go to a smaller market like the Quad Cities, I mean, the kids can stand outside the scoring area, and the guys come out, they'll sign for you. I mean, it's a very...
Feels a lot like an NFL training camp.
Yeah, not a bad analogy. Yeah, it's a smaller town event. The parking's the footprint is all easier. Everything, it's not as big as Chicago. We have a lot of great tournaments and great events here, but they're bigger, right? So if you drive out a couple hours, it's 160 miles west of O'Hare. So if you're already living in Naperville, you have no excuse not to go. And it's an easy deal, and the tickets are cheap. You go to johndeereclassic.com, and it's all good. It's a lot of fun.
Do you have, this is one of the important things, too, for anyone going out there, maybe making a weekend out of it, too, food recommendations out there? Do you have a couple spots that you have in mind?
There's a few good ones. I'm just trying to think of the name. The Bass Street Chop House. It's at downtown Moline. That's probably the best. And then over in Davenport, there's it's unbelievable, a high-class restaurant called Duck City. And it's located across the street from Hotel Blackhawk down in downtown Davenport. Those are the two top ones that I would say off the top of my head are really good. And there are others that are good, too.
Gotcha. All right. When we come back, we'll get you through a couple things that are going on around the CDGA and a couple other things going on locally here in Illinois as well. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
Pleased to meet you.
This segment brought to you by X-Golf Downers Grove with easy access off of I-88 and I-355. Final stretch here on the CDGA Golf Show. Thank you to Charlie Bevins for producing today. Thank you to Nick Hardy and to Claire Peterson as well for joining us on the show. You miss anything, be sure to check out the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Also, wherever you get your podcast, just search for us, the CDGA Golf Show. So some things going on around the CDGA this week, including the 102nd CDGA Championship. One of the two CDGA major championships starts tomorrow and concludes on Wednesday at Glenflora Country Club. So some a pretty strong field there as well playing. And then don't forget CDGA member opportunities. There's one coming up July 11th at Flossmoor Country Club. A few spots remain there, so go to cdga.org. And if you're not a member, I don't know what you're waiting for. Be sure to sign up at cdga.org. What are you seeing else in the world of Illinois golf, Barry?
Well, right now we need to mention that at the Travelers, Kevin Streelman, who's a past champion at the Travelers, is 5-under par. And Luke Donald, they both made the cut there, so that's good. As we said earlier, Claire Peterson mentioned that Patrick Flavin had qualified for the event. Unfortunately, he missed the cut, as did Doug Gim. But they'll both be out at John Deere next week and trying again. We also had the Western Junior this week, the 104th Western Junior Championship out at Naperville Country Club. 16-year-old from Monterrey, Mexico, Eduardo Derbez Torres, won the event. And so congratulations to him. Another great WGA golf tournament. The 95th Women's Western Junior at Prestwick Country Club. Jessica Mason of Colorado beat Lisa Copeland, who's a girl from Naperville. So some good golf being played, and good to have some awareness of those events.
One other thing that crossed my mind, and it just crossed my mind again, and it's something from the Travelers, too, real quick on this. Did you see the self-driving carts that they had? And one of them self-drove itself into the lake. Did you see this?
I did not.
Okay. As someone who has a fear of getting into... Like, I don't feel comfortable getting in a self-driving car. I don't know how you feel.
No, I'm with you, man.
You're with you? You're with me?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So now you're going to see some of these self-driving golf carts out there. I don't know if I trust those, especially you get some of those narrow drives, you go over a bridge here or there, you find yourself dipped in a lake somewhere.
I think it'd be almost easier with a car because there's so much going on a golf course, right? You know, you've got all these little nooks and crannies. It's a smaller footprint. The good news is you don't have buses and stuff, you know, potentially bumping into you. But yeah, I don't know about self-driving.
Do you ever think we'll get to a point with technology too where the ball is linked to the cart to a degree? There's some sort of like GPS tracking between ball and cart. And it'll drive straight to your ball.
Oh, that's a good thought. That's a good thought. I've always thought, well, why don't we have some sort of a GPS so that when I lose my ball, I can find it.
Exactly.
Like, where is it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's along the same lines. And, you know, here's the thing. If you and I are thinking about it now, some guy like who's really brilliant is in a cubicle somewhere trying to figure out how to do it.
Exactly.
So, you know, Elon Musk probably has a guy working on it right now as we speak.
All right, Hanley and Xander are coming up at 10 a.m. And don't forget White Sox baseball as well, starting at 1:10 first pitch. And then 12:30, Connor McKnight has your pregame show. This has been the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by X Golf Downers Grove with easy access off of I-88 and I-355. We'll be back with you guys next week from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000.